Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. CME Group says that it is reducing electronic trading hours of livestock futures effective October 27th, pending CFTC approval. Electronic trading will follow a new schedule with different hours on different days. On Mondays, the market will open at 9:05 a.m. Central Time and will close at 4 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, the markets trade between 8 a.m. Central and 4 p.m. Central, and the trading day is shorter on Fridays, opening at 8 a.m. Central Time and closing at 1:55 p.m. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 210,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations, that for the 14-15 marketing year. Russia has exported more grain at the beginning of the current marketing year than in the same period a year ago. Between July 1 and October 1, Russia exported 11.5 million metric tons of grain. That's 26.6% more than in the previous marketing year. The exported grain included 9.85 million tons of wheat. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,011. It is up 90 points. The NASDAQ, 4,032, up 16 and a quarter. The S&P 500 is 1968, and it is up 8 1/4 points.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest will likely see a mixed bag of weather this week. The northwestern portions of the region will likely see the best weather with the least amount of rainfall in it. The Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, at least the northern half to two-thirds of Iowa, and northeastern Nebraska will all go without much in the way of significant rainfall over the next 7 days. There will be a good chance for rain early next week, though, beginning maybe on Sunday in some of the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt and advancing eastward across the Midwest on the 13th and 14th. The storm system will certainly produce widespread precipitation and will set back fieldwork for a short period of time. Now, for the northwestern areas that will be dry most of this week, that disruption is not likely to have nearly as much impact as it may on the eastern portions of the Midwest, where rain will be more common this week. Ohio, portions of Indiana, Kentucky, even some areas in Illinois will likely see some rainfall over the next couple of days, and the precipitation will be most significant in the eastern parts of that region. Some areas in Ohio and Kentucky may end up with 7 or 8 tenths of an inch of moisture, whereas central Illinois may pick up on 2 or 3 tenths of an inch, maybe something a little bit greater. The precipitation in the lower eastern Midwest will not be just confined to the next couple of days. The remnants of Tropical Storm Simon will move across the central U.S. plains on Wednesday and Thursday and force its way into the Ohio River Basin on Thursday, and will likely see additional rain occur in the Ohio Basin at that time. Rain totals might end up running 1/2 to 1.5 inches, some local totals over 2 inches in a few locations, and that moisture on top of the moisture that will occur here over the next 2 days, and that which is going to come on the 13th and 14th, will result in slow field working progress across most of those areas. outside of that delay, once we get behind the 13th and 14th storm system, a big part of the Midwest will likely experience good drying conditions. The second half of next week into the following weekend is the time period we're focused on. The temperature bias this week will be fairly close to normal. Seasonable readings, it means that we'll see highs in the 50s and 60s across the northern portions of the Midwest, while readings in the south will be in the 60s and 70s. And we'll expect this trend to be more or less the dominating feature for this week, at least as far as temperatures go across the region. We'll look for the low temperatures at night to run in the 30s and 40s across northern portions of the Midwest, while readings in the south will be mostly in the 40s with a few lower 50s. The temperatures will likely work against the drying that's needed across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest, obviously not quite warm enough to stimulate a real good rate of drying when it's not raining. But it's still better than it could be. We are still going to see enough evaporation that once we get into next week, there should be a pretty quick return to the fields, and some areas will be able to proceed with field work between the rain events that are expected this week. In the meantime, a quick comment about hard red winter wheat country. The rains that come from the remnants of Simon are expected to bolster soil moisture in some of the driest areas in Kansas and Oklahoma over the middle part of this week. That will be a big boon for winter wheat emergence and establishment. Some of those areas have seen less than half of normal rainfall since early September, some areas less than 25% of normal. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our first ever WILL Ag Farm Essex Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 574 and 3 quarters, up 6 and 3 quarters. Soft December, 490 and a half, up 4 and 3 quarters. December corn, 327, up 3 and 3 quarters. July, 356 and 3 quarters, up 4. November soybeans, 928 and a half, up 16 and a quarter. July, 955 and a half, up 14 and a quarter. October soybean meal, 314.30, up 6.30. October soybean oil, 33.09, up 80 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of Mitco, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Trying to stay dry. How about you?
About the same. A little windy and cool, obviously, over the weekend. Helped delay harvest a little bit. Had a pretty good sizable rain here in the Bloomington area late last week, about 3 inches or so. So it was a pretty quiet week for the most part, although we did see some isolated spots around town that did get going a little bit yesterday. But seeing a little harvest delay, and that's offering a little support here this morning, Dave.
Yeah, and it is kind of nice to say on a Monday we already are guaranteed higher highs for the week in corn.
Yeah, that's right. I guess the question still remains, can we maintain some of these gains? We just haven't had a lot of luck here with these early morning gains holding all the way until 1:15. We'll see if that's the case today or not. But, some frost up in the northern Corn Belt probably ended some growing season up there. Not expected to be any big loss, especially when you look at the total supply of corn coming at us here this fall. But those are all things that are kind of helping a little bit of a bounce here this morning.
And maybe a little bit of short covering ahead of Friday's crop production report?
I think that's right. Obviously going to be a lot of moving parts on Friday with some acres adjustments, yield adjustments, see what that does to ending stocks, see what the USDA wants to do with demand there. So a lot of things moving, so probably some traders maybe wanting to get out of the way a little bit here. And I think probably see a little more of that. Either side of short covering or profit taking here as we move closer to Friday.
What are your ideas for Friday?
No, I don't think the net result of Indian stocks is going to change that much. I think we'll see acres lowered, both corn and soybeans, but I think we'll also see some adjustment higher in the yield. So I don't know if the Indian stocks is going to change a whole lot. I think it's still going to remind the market that we got plenty of corn left over at the end for carryout for corn and beans, both domestically and worldwide. So at the end of the day, I don't know if it changes the really the outlook picture all that much, Dave.
What do the shuttle bids for rail cars mean for the market for the balance of the harvest period?
Well, it's still going to be a challenge. The eastern side of the Corn Belt is obviously a little bit better moving than the western side. Still some challenges as we move farther into the western Corn Belt. I think that's going to be an issue for the most part of harvest here. We're seeing Gulf values continue to be well supported, but barge freight along the river is pretty high. So freight rates in general continue to be challenging. That's why I continue to see pretty weak basis for the most part here as we move along in harvest, Dave.
Thank you, Aaron.
Have a great day.
You too. Aaron Curtis at MITCO out of Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. December corn, 327, up 3 3/4. July, 356.5, up 3 3/4. November soybeans, 926 3/4, up 14.5, now 14 3/4. And July beans are 954 1/4, up 13. You are listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.